Would you please stand? Our scripture reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
We're talking about conversations with Jesus. Do you think it's possible for someone to have a conversation with Jesus?
Sure, I think it's possible.
I do think it's possible. I think God speaks in a lot of different ways.
Yes, thank
you. Oh, very much so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's called prayer.
Yes, I do. I think it's possible to talk to Jesus, but I don't think that everybody has a conversation with Jesus.
If you were to have one, what would you want to talk to him about?
Well, just answers to questions, you know, how to... life's questions, how to get through some of life's problems that we go through.
My life, what I'm going through, areas that I need to work on.
Depends on the day.
Okay, I mean, there's always the questions about what's wrong with the world and why things go the way they do.
Just about my everyday issues.
And what do you think he would want to talk to you about?
Places that, areas in my life that I'm struggling with and that I need to change to be more like him.
Just my salvation.
Yeah. Probably about my life, about how I've been living.
Well, I think in our society too that so many people are looking for a purpose in life, you know, like what's my purpose, what am I supposed to do, what am I here for? And I really believe that God wants to reveal that to us in different ways.
That I need to straighten out.
All the things that I did, naughty.
I don't know. I think it's just a daily conversation, just like I'm having with you right now.
Prayer. We've been doing a series of what I consider to be the most important topics in Christianity. Last week we talked about the Word of God, and you can pick these messages up on iTunes or on our church website under the Believe tab if you've missed any of them. I got a prayer when I was at Christian Healing Ministries in Florida this last year. There's a simple little prayer, and I keep it in my wallet, and I use it every day. A prayer for protection. I begin my day with this prayer. And then a prayer to be set free, to be prayed after ministry. You're supposed to pray this one for protection before ministry, and the prayer to be set free after ministry. Well, hey, my whole life is ministry, right? So I begin my day with this one, and I end my day with the other one. So I thought I'd begin this sermon with this, and then I'll end the sermon with this. And you can find this prayer on our newsletter at the very end this week. I had them put it as an attachment at the very end of the newsletter. In the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of his cross and his blood, I bind up the power of any evil spirits and command them not to block my prayers. I bind up the powers of earth, air, water, fire, the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature. I break any curses, hexes, spells sent against me and my family and declare them null and void. I break the assignments of any spirits sent against us and send them to Jesus to deal with them as he will. Lord, I ask you to bless our enemies by sending your Holy Spirit to lead them to repentance and conversion. Furthermore, I bind all interaction and communication in the world of evil spirits as it affects me and my ministry, and I ask for the protection of the shed blood of Jesus Christ over all my loved ones, and I will often put you guys in there as well. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, and send your angels, especially Michael the Archangel, to help us in the battle. We ask you to guide us in our prayers. Share with us your Spirit's power and compassion. Amen. Prayer. Little Evan got it right this morning. It's just talking to God. That's all prayer is. Like you would talk to a beloved parent, or like you would talk to a good friend. Prayer, someone said, is to faith, like oxygen is to the body. Pulled out a couple of scriptures that I'm asking Bob to stick up there for me. You know, in Mark 1:35, we see how Jesus prayed. I like this. Very early in the morning. Now, Jesus was a morning person, okay? While it was still dark. Okay, so what, before 8 o'clock? Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. That's how Jesus did prayer. In the morning, early, before anybody else gets up, he'd leave the house, he'd go away where there's no distractions, and talk to his Father in heaven. In that passage that Michelle read to us this morning, on one of these occasions, and by the way, the second part of that, Mark 1:36, is then the rest of the guys got up and realized Jesus was gone and went looking for him. They were always out there trying to find him because he would take off on them in the morning. On one of those occasions, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And that's the passage Michelle read. And by the way, the Luke passage, there's two places that have the Lord's Prayer in it. One is in Matthew, the other is in Luke. And they're a little bit different, especially in the NIV translation. And you'll notice that it was kind of an abbreviated Lord's Prayer, if you were following along with what she read this morning. And so Jesus gave them this very simple yet profound prayer where he told them, first of all, you begin with Father. Now, that word in Greek is pater, and it's the familiar term. For us, it would be more like dad or daddy. The Aramaic form of that word is Abba. But in the prayer, Jesus used pater, dad. That's how I talk to my dad. How do you talk to your dad? That's how you should talk to God. With a familiar, endearing, not big formal, but from the heart, familiar. Dad. Hallowed be your name. You know, Jesus said that we should begin by praising him. Praising that name, Yahweh, the I am. I am who I am. Praise his name. Prayer should always begin with praise, with addressing Dad in heaven, and to do it with praise. your kingdom come. Now, in the Luke passage, you'll see a footnote in the NIV that they don't put the rest of that in there. Your kingdom come, but they don't put the rest, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, it's in some manuscripts, but it isn't in the manuscript that the NIV writers used. They did the same thing at the end of the prayer with when they talked about the evil one. So, your kingdom come. You know, that should be part of our prayer every day is, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, we want that kingdom to come. And we need to ask for it every day. We want Jesus to come back. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, we're not supposed to ask for tomorrow's bread or next week's bread or next month's bread. But we're supposed to ask for today's bread. We're not supposed to be concerned beyond today. Did you know that? Jesus is very clear about that in the Sermon on the Mount. Every day, there's enough stuff to worry about today. Okay? We don't need to be worrying about tomorrow. Jesus said, let tomorrow worry about itself. Just be concerned with today. That's enough. And talk to him about today. Forgive us our sins. You know, we always have to come to God as sinners and admit it, because we are, and we always will be until Jesus comes back. So we admit that we're sinners. Forgive us our sins. And, Lord, we want to forgive the people who hurt us. We hurt you, you forgive us, and so we want to, in turn, forgive those who hurt us. You know, Christians have to live in forgiveness, both receiving it and giving it constantly. And lead us not into temptation. Lord, we don't want to sin. So please keep those things away from us that make us sin, Lord. All right, so that's the simple, profound, you know, the most profound things in life are the simplest. Did you know that? Are you guys awake out there? Did you know that? The most profound things in life are the simplest, okay? And that's what Jesus taught us. And then he went on and told two little stories. He told the first story to illustrate. He told the first story about this guy who, it's midnight, and some friends show up who haven't eaten, and he doesn't have any food. So he goes to the neighbor next door, who's a good friend of his, and starts beating on the door and saying, hey, get up, get up. I got friends here, and I don't have any food, and I know you do because I saw you bring the groceries in, and I need some food. And the neighbor says, hey, go away, you know, because I'm in bed, I'm asleep, the doors are locked, the kids are asleep. Just leave me alone. It's midnight. And Jesus says, even though he's his friend, and he won't get up because of that, because he keeps beating on his door, he'll get up and give him whatever he needs. In fact, in the new translation of the NIV, the NIV has a newer translation from 2010, which we don't have here. This is the older one. It says, because of his shameless audacity, I think it says in this translation, wasn't it boldness? Another translation is importunity, which means the same thing, persistence, boldness, audacity. He'll get up and give him whatever he needs. And then Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. You know, telling us that we need to have that same kind of persistence and boldness and importunity and audacity to keep asking, seeking, knocking. God wants us to come after him. And then he ends with another little story. He says, now you guys are sinful. We're sinful. And we know how to give good gifts to our kids, don't we? You know, if our kids ask us for a fish, we're not going to give them a snake. If they ask us for an egg, we're not going to give them a scorpion, are we? We know how to give good gifts to our kids. And so Jesus said, you're sinful and you know how to do that. So how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to you? That's Matthew. Matthew says, give good gifts to you. Luke says, give the Holy Spirit to you. Because the greatest gift of all, of course, is the Spirit of God. And when you ask God, like I tried to tell the kids this morning, He will give you good gifts. Say it with me. He will give you good gifts. You can count on it. You can count on it. Now, there's a couple of other passages up here I wanted to talk a little bit about. The Ephesians 6:18. The Apostle Paul writes a little bit about prayer too. And he says, now in this passage in Ephesians 6, he's talking about the armor of God. And he's talking about dealing with demonic forces and putting on the armor of God. And he says there's two offensive weapons that Christians have. What's the first one? The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. That was my sermon last week. That's the first offensive weapon we have, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And the second offensive weapon, now what I mean by offensive weapon is these are weapons that we can use to go after the devil himself. The Word of God and prayer. Prayer in the Spirit, Paul says. And pray in the Spirit. When the Lord gives us, He impresses upon us. Some of you have a supernatural language that God has given to you. You need to use it. I use mine every day. I talked about this when I talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can go listen to that sermon. And there's times, you know when you're, sometimes you just, somebody comes to your mind that you haven't been thinking about? You ever had that happen to you? That's usually the Holy Spirit telling you to pray for them. You ever had that happen to you? And then you find out later that there's something going on in their life? That's prayer in the Spirit, when the Lord impresses you to pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Praying for all the saints. And then the next passage that I wanted to talk a little bit about was this one, 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul gives us and tells us what God's will is for our life. This is, you ever wondered, what's God's will for my life? This is God's will for your life. First of all, be joyful always, or rejoice always. You know, we are to be happy people. Did you know that? We are to be happy. Christians are to be happy, joyful people, not just in December, not just in Advent, but all the time. Be joyful always. And what's this next one? Pray continually, all the time, all day long. You know, there's a guy by the name of Frank Laubach. Anybody ever heard of Frank Laubach? Frank wrote a lot and was a big name in the whole area of prayer in our nation. And Frank used to talk about swishing prayers. As he would go through his day, he would hear a siren. He'd swish a prayer. He would see something on the news or hear something on the radio. He'd send a prayer. He would go by somebody that looked like they were having a bad day. He'd swish him a prayer. Swishing prayers all day long. wherever he went, whatever he did, we are to be pray continually. From the moment we get up, we should say a prayer when we first wake up, and we should say a prayer just before we go to sleep. And then finally, give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I brought a book that I asked Bob to stick up there for me. Jack Hayford. Anybody ever heard of Jack Hayford? Jack Hayford used to have a church on the way in Van Nuys, California. And when I went to seminary at Fuller years ago, I used to attend Jack's church. And now he's the head of the Four Square denomination. He's kind of like the Pope of the Four Square Church, okay? And Jack wrote this book called Prayer is Invading the Impossible. It's an older book now, but it's a great book. And one of the things Jack talked about is that God doesn't do anything on planet Earth except in answer to prayer. Did you hear that? God doesn't do anything on planet Earth except in answer to prayer. Now, if that's true, that means that God has voluntarily limited himself by his omnipotence to partner with us. And we have a great responsibility on this planet, in our lives, to pray. Because he's not going to do things unless we do. Because he wants us to do this with him. He wants us to partner with him in his work on this planet. You know, you can take that one down now. Thanks, Bob. Martin Luther was the great reformer, the one who started the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther prayed 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. John Wesley was the Anglican priest who started the Methodist Church about 200 years after Luther. And he prayed 2 hours a day. These great reformers of the church who changed the world in their lifetimes and after their lifetimes were men who believed in prayer, hours of prayer a day. My own experience with prayer started, like most of you, in adolescence. I would pray to God when I was in trouble. Okay? That was the only time that I would ever think about God, and it had to be pretty bad trouble. It had to be significant trouble. When I was really up against the wall, got in a bad car wreck, the girl in the front seat looked like she was going to die, they airlifted her to Harborview. My best friend's girlfriend, I prayed. That's when I would pray, when things were really bad. And God always came through, always did. And then I would promptly forget about him until the next time that I was really in trouble. And you know, I think a lot of people on planet Earth live like that, don't they? They talk to God because there's something inside of us when we're really in trouble. There's something that God has put inside of us that instinctively reaches out to him. Well, after I met the Lord at the age of 20, And I remember I was living out in Woodinville at this organic farm, and I was, you've heard my story before, I'm not going to tell it here, but I, just to give you my first real example of prayer, I knew no Christians. I did not get saved in church. I was reading the New Testament. I didn't know any Christians except for my landlady and my girlfriend's mom. Those were the only Christians I knew. And I remember being out on Lake Leota up in Woodinville, and I was really needing other Christians. And it was a starry night, and I remember looking up into the sky, and I said, God, I need some other Christians. The very next day, I was on the campus, University of Washington. I was a junior. Been going there for 3 years. I was walking across campus. And in those days, as I've said before, whenever God wanted to get my attention, he did what? He sent me a beautiful woman, okay? And he still does that, okay? Because he knows how to get my attention. And here comes a girl that I had a crush on in high school. And I'd been going there for 3 years. She'd been going there for 3 years. I'd never run into her. And she recognizes me. I recognize her. We start talking. And before I know it, she's witnessing to me. She's telling me, she says, Doug, something's happened in my life. I've met Jesus Christ. I've invited him into my life. And I just can't believe this. And I'm going, me too? And so she says, I'm going to this thing tonight downtown at the Seattle Arena. My folks are driving over from Yakima. We were from Yakima. And would you want to go tonight? Of course, I had to ask Gail. And I asked Gail, and she said I could go. And so I went with Linda and her parents down to the Seattle Arena to this thing I talked about last week, this Bill Gothard's Basic Youth Conflicts. And it was a Friday night, and we got there, and people had paid a lot of money to go to this thing. And I look like John Lennon, okay? So I walk up to the door, and I go. The guy's standing there checking tickets, and I said, I don't have a ticket, but I think God sent me here tonight. And this guy pulls this ticket out, and he says, I've been waiting for you. Hands me this ticket. So I go into this place with Linda and her parents. We go in. We sit down. I'm looking around. There's 15,000 people in there. And I hear God. Is this enough Christians? I'm not kidding you. It hadn't been 24 hours. It had not been 24 hours. You know, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? And that was the night I learned about the power of prayer. And I've been praying ever since. And I begin in the morning with God. I pray every morning. I was up early in the dark, okay? And I talk to him. I keep a journal. I write down some of my prayers. Gail journals with her prayers, which is kind of interesting. And I'll write down answers to prayer. And I have a little prayer list that I keep, a personal one that I pull out, that about things that God really puts on my heart that I'm praying for people. There's people on that list that have been on there for 40 years or more. And I'm always updating it and changing it and spending time with him and talking to him about everything in my life. So, prayer is just talking to God. It's needed as much in our lives for faith as oxygen is when we breathe. It's simple. God wants us to do it constantly. He wants us to be shamelessly audacious about it. To be bold, to be persistent, to ask, to seek, to knock. And I'm going to end with the prayer that I end at the end of the day with. The prayer to be set free, and I take a few liberties with this. Lord, cleanse me of any sadness, negativity, despair that I may have picked up today. If my ministries tempted me to anger, impatience, lust, cleanse me of these temptations and replace them with love, joy, and peace. If any evil spirits have attached themselves to me or my family or oppressed us in any way, I command you, spirits of earth, air, fire, water, the netherworld, the satanic forces of nature, to depart now and go straight to Jesus Christ for him to deal with you as he will. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us, fill us anew with your power, your life, your joy. Strengthen us where we felt weak. Clothe us with your light. Fill us with your life, Lord Jesus. Please send your holy angels to minister to us and our families. Guard us and protect us from all sickness, harm, and accidents. And I put a little thing in there because I'm going to sleep right after this. Give me healing dreams and uninterrupted sleep. I praise you now and forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I ask these things in Jesus' holy name that he may be glorified. Amen. I'd like to bring our community slide back up. And I'd like to end today with some prayer. So let's turn to him in remembering these prayers. And if you feel led to pray out loud, just go ahead and pray out loud.